everybody, and welcome to Dollars. I'm joined, as always, by Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Oh, thanks for the as always, Alan. It feels few and far between at the moment. Obviously, out on school camp last week, a bit going on. School camp was epic. We get paid for it these days, which is nice, but I got paid to go whitewater rafting, skiing. It was a good week. And then on the weekend, I had my annual cocktail making competition, which was obviously a hoot. How you doing?
Pretty annoyed now because I didn't get any of the photos of the cocktails. I look forward to that. Last year you sent them through and they look pretty fucking fantastic. So I'm a bit disappointed. What was your signature cocktail that you brought to the table?
You would have loved it. It wasn't my intention at the time, but it ended up being called Ros Lemonada, which is Greek for pink lemonade. And it had Mestija in it, which is Ouzo's lesser cousin. So it's a liqueur out of Greece. Everyone knows Ouzo, but no one knows Mestija. And so I incorporated Mestija. I definitely ran with a bit of Tramana, if I'm saying that correctly, tequila.
Teremana. Yeah. That's the rocks tequila.
Yeah. Teremana. There you go. Dwayne Johnson's tequila. I made a pomegranate simple syrup, which was fucking the tits. It was so good. And then I just got some lemons out of the back tree, foraged some rosemary from some neighbors, and yeah, whipped up this I'm not going to lie, it was a fucking good cocktail. Perfect balance of sweet and sour with my lemons and my simple syrup. Bit of tequila, bit of this Mestija, and it was a big success. Big success.
I love it. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Did you get the win?
Second.
Oh, bullshit. What was the winner?
I got done by what was called the Triple L, which was like a sour-based cocktail. It was quite delicious. It had like a lychee-infused vodka. It was also running with some lemons, and then it had some other liqueur starting with L. That's why it was Triple L. But it was pretty delicious. And what probably got it over the line, I'm going to use a fancy word, was its viscosity. Like it was like...
Oh, yep.
Its texture was pretty awesome. Yeah, it was a thick cocktail.
Nice. Sounds good. Yeah, well, I didn't get any of that, but I did head off to Hepburn Springs with the missus over the weekend. Managed to play Melbourne Celebrates on Saturday, and then on Sunday, stayed Sunday night, Monday night. Didn't do a lot. We mostly just chilled, which was nice, but yeah, just a good getaway. Didn't work Monday and Tuesday, which is fantastic, so... I'm one day into work now, and I've only got two left for the rest of the week. So, pretty excited. So, day's going pretty good. And then one of my very good mates, one of my longest mates, he got engaged a few weeks ago, and he hit me up today to be part of the bridal party, to be a groomsman. So, good days, just good day all around.
Nice work. You are. How many bridal, groomsmen, best man, bridal parties have you been a part of now?
Ooh, this will be, what have I got? 1, 2, 3, 4, if I'm remembering correctly. I think might be my fourth. So,
You're a popular man, my friend, a popular man.
Yeah, I'll take it. I love it. It's so much fun. I love being in bridal parties. Never a best man, but I am very, very fine with that. I'm just the guy for bringing good vibes in the background. So
nice work.
Yeah. So Bucks Day planning will be happening very soon. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Beautiful.
All right. We'll get into some of the potty stuff. First thing we got to get out of the way. This is episode number 67, I believe, for us.
68.
68. There you go. So something we should have done last week, but I wanted to save for when you were back. There are 66 episodes of the tee-off. That is, if you don't count Talking Trilogy, and let's be honest, we don't. So they've got 66. We're at 68. We won't make too much of a big deal about it because we know it was inevitable. I think when they started 6 years ago, they were doing one a year, and they've upgraded to about one a month now. So we were always going to catch them. But, just a little a little pat on the back there. We've surpassed the tee off. I think it's pretty fair to say in every aspect.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were already the number one Australian disc golf podcast in the country on certain measures, and now we are on an actual measure. So that's fucking good.
Yeah, exactly. Just a little bit of a official recognition that we're number one.
It's beautiful.
Another disc golf podcast or vodcast, or I don't know what they call themselves, but the Parked Media guys, I caught a bit of the, what do they call it, the Clubhouse.
Correct.
And a bit of a clap back from them. So, you know, we had talked a couple episodes ago about their doing their predictions. And yes. You said how that sounded awfully familiar.
Yes.
Well, they got a little butt hurt about that. And, Ash went on some rant about how every podcast and all this sort of shit does...
I'm not having that. Fake news. No way Ash went on a rant.
Yeah, exactly. long rant. It was most of the episode. And then they capped it off by, they played a sponsor of theirs, which was Sportsbet. And that was him just saying, you know, might want to hit them up about their predictions. And all I got from that is that they're just rolling out fake sponsors.
That was my takeaway too. I watched it. I was like, they're trying to steal their second one.
Exactly. It's like, what will we steal next? They'll probably start finishing their podcast with like not good, hot good or some shit like that. I don't know. But Ash was pretty mad, and then stole again. So I don't know.
They might call their segment Trash or Cash or something like that. And I gotta say, they should run out. I just want other people. Like, we've got the best sponsor in the game. All right, we've covered this before, but obviously the cornhole company, Cornhub, any hole's a goal. And strike bowling, until they bring strike bowling and corn hub on, we've got them covered in the sponsored stakes.
Yeah, definitely. We need to get a couple of new fake sponsors on board. So I'll have a good think this week, and we'll see if we can come up with something good. I'll reach out to a few of my contacts and see if we can get some sponsorship for next week's episode.
Perfect.
I don't know a good segue for this, but it was just something funny I saw. Simon at the European Open, Simon Lazot, missed the putt on hole 16 or something, and then just scrunched up his tacoed his pixel. End of the tournament, he gave it to someone, signed it. Obviously, he's like, never going to throw it again. It's fucked. And that person, of course, immediately put it on sale.
Smart.
It went for about $700 Australian.
So good.
Oh, I love that. I think that's so good. And it's like, I swear if Simon had to try to sell it himself, he probably wouldn't have got that. But because he just gave it to some guy's like, look, Simon's tacoed pixel. That's cool. I love it. More of them need to do wild shit like that and just make some fans' day and give him $700 so that he can go buy a Zuka card or some shit.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we are now at the end of July. So we're halfway through the season, and we should do a check-in to something that we don't really talk too much about until the end of the year, but the ADG Tour. So the actual national tour. A lot of events that we play don't give you tour points anymore, just because, for my opinion, as a TD, it doesn't seem worth it. You're paying double the amount to the ADG just so that they can collect your data and then add it to your name. Because most of the events, unless it's a big event, you're not going to get enough points to matter much anyway. You're always going to get outdone by someone who travels around to some of the big events. But it is still something they track. I like it because I always finish pretty high because I travel a fair bit. But I thought we'll have a check-in. So what do you think?
Yeah, please. I to be honest, I was like, this leaderboard escapes me, and I've just done some frantic Googling and I've uncovered it. And I can see why you would want to check in.
Yeah, well. We'll start at the bottom. We'll go the FJE 15. Not too many of them in there, but Lily Nicholson Love is out on top there, battling a couple other Nicholsons. So FA 4, we've got Taylor Clark in first place. Where's Taylor from?
Why
can't
I
think of that name?
They should definitely be hyperlinks. Like I should be able to click. I should be able to click on these names.
Yeah, when you click on the name, it does show you the events they've played and how many points they've got, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
I do like that because you can see, like, if you're trying to follow your progression, I think it's your top six events, maybe. Best six events, and so you can see. Well, or if I play really with this one, this might pop off. But Taylor Clark's out in front there. FA2. Margaret Trail, so she must have played some events in FA 40 and FA 2, but no surprise she's way out in front there. But Jess Holman, could do some work.
There you go. And like, let's be real, Jess Holman. There's just a bit more they could do here, isn't there? Like, I'd like to see what these results are, because does Jess get many W's?
I don't think so. So if you click on her name, the way I believe it works, and this is sort of off the top of my head, it's at least for the big events, it's like 100 points plus the amount of people that are in your division.
Yeah.
Potentially for the smaller events, it might be 80. So that's how she might be getting that. But I'm not 100% sure, but... Yeah, if you click on Margaret's name, you see all but one is 100 points or more.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it's 120 for majors. Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember. Don't know exactly how the point system works, but it's something along those lines. But yeah, I don't think Jess gets the wins. So if she does get some wins, she could punch up there.
Mm-hmm.
FA
40.
FA 40. I think I was getting Carol Hartley and Margaret Trial mixed up. That's why I had the FA 40 in my head.
Yeah.
But, Carol Hartley is doing plenty of work there ahead of Michelle Schultz. And who do we know? Tanya Behan's in there. Janet Ford Adams is in the top 10. And Christine Goh.
And Christine Goh. That's what I was going to say. Top 10 as well. Good stuff.
That's nice. What about the FA1?
FA1, Kirsty Murray. So that's the... to Team Australia, am I not right?
Yep. Oh yeah, definitely. You picked that.
Yeah. No, I was really engaged. So great to see her up there. Some big results and some smaller results in there. Names we're familiar with, obviously Georgia Carroll, giving Emma a workover. Obviously they go toe to toe here in Victoria. Georgia's got a measure on that leaderboard, and Janet in that list as well.
Yep, Janet everywhere. We like that.
Yeah.
FPO.
What the?
Yeah, do you have that on your vision board?
Nah.
I guess there just has been a lot of events that the traditional FPO ladies have been playing.
Yeah.
So, like, we see Sarah Lee in second, but she's only played two events in FPO. So I know that some of the smaller events she's popped into MPO or different things, but it's only Vic Open and the Sizzler. And then even Cassie, same deal.
And obviously you've got all the mining money in WA. So you're saying before it's not really worth it for TDs, but if you live in WA, you just got money to throw away. So that's working in Sue's favour.
Yep, so Sue Summers is currently the on top of the leaderboard for the FPO and the ADG National Tour. So, yeah, didn't see that coming.
There you go.
So Melbourne Burnians doing work in MJ15. Not a surprise that Tobias Webber is there, but don't count out Joseph Paul. So I only really know him for his work at the Queensland Open, and he kicked my ass. I can tell you that. He would have been very comfortable second place in MA1. But I think he has designs to, you know, win the tour, win nationals. Because I was very confused why he didn't just play in a higher division, because he is very, very good at disc golf.
There you go.
Hopefully Tobias can hold out, but if Joe Paul gets a few more events, then I think we're going to see some big numbers heading his way.
How's his next list? That's just basically a Victorian leaderboard.
Well, MA3 is Melbourne.
Yeah.
That's who we are. That's where we're at.
That's where we're at.
who's on that?
Obviously, we've got Matt Hunter taking it out at the moment. Ballarat. And then you got Max Tats, Mitch Evers, Duncan, Lewis, Ash Widener. Eamesy's a Victorian at heart.
Yeah.
So taking out the top seven. Huge work by the Melburnians.
Yeah. I love it. Really love to see it. I hope they don't let any of those scumbags in. I don't know who Gethin Barden is, but you're not having a bar of it. And Matty Tulip, I love you, but stay away from our top seven.
That name's Gethin Barden. Like, Gethin could be a Welsh name. You know any Welsh words, Alan?
Yeah, I do. that was Taryn sent me that, actually. Taryn sent me a video of that Welsh thing. So I was very underwhelmed when I actually asked Gareth what it was, and it's like he just wrote some shit that he just put letters down. So yeah. I was like, they're not actual words. but if you for anyone playing at home, ask your Alexa, ask your Siri, whatever it is, to translate into Welsh. What did I say it was? It was like Coffee Beans 100?
Something like that, yeah.
I'll have to, now we've brought it up, I'll have to find it real quick.
We'll come back to that.
Now, I've got it right here. Oh no, I said Siri and now she's trying to do something. That's creepy as. where do I have it? I go, yeah, so ask her, how do you say Coffee Bean 100 in Welsh?
Yeah.
Maybe not around your kids.
Maybe not around your kids.
all right, in MA2, we've got Andrew Young, Jackaway out in front. Which,
hyphenate himself.
Yeah, hyphenate himself. We've tipped him a bunch. We've talked about him. He's done a lot of work and a lot of events because he's popped down to Victoria a bit. But Penn, big Penn, right there behind him.
There you go.
And have a look at the ADG is on top of it, because the Melbourne Celebrates results are already in.
Wowee, Paul Arden. That's got Paul Arden written all over
it. Yeah,
it
does. That's great. We haven't even got the Vic Tour points completely solidified yet. But normally, this is like a six-month process to try to get your results in for the ADG Tour. So have a look out. But yeah, big 96 points there for Penn, which I think, second place in MA2. So jumped him right up into two. My name must feature on this now then too. I would have got a few points for third place. Yeah, there we go. Down 57th in MA2.
Well,
Alan Brunsig, let's go. who else we got in there?
Victorians, you got Sam Stoyer, Tim Stevenson in the top 10 as well. And then you got Picanti just sitting out, just outside of the top 10 there. So I'm sure he's looking for a top 10 finish.
Yeah, and Kalen there in 10th as well. So, not too many good results, but big win. Got him right up there into the top 10. So cool to see. MP40, we've got Kev Costa and then Tunji is... I don't even know how to say his name actually properly, but that's what we call him, Mr. Tunji. Olutundi Akbosani.
Correct.
Ryan Johnson in third. Like, is this how we thought this was heading? The leaderboard you expected to see? Chris Finn in sixth. Ruben Berg in 11th.
No. Well, that's
Darren in 18th.
Yeah, nah, no way. Obviously, Ruben Berg is, you know, doesn't get interstate very much. And obviously, Chris Finn does not either. And yeah, there you go. And Ryan Johnson has a little bit, but maybe not enough. But yeah, the names you've just reeled off, they're the top four, you know. All due respect to Tunji and Costa. But yeah, you know, I wonder if Tunji also works in the education sector. I don't know how Costa gets so much time off. Like, I can't travel that much.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm having a look at Costa's events. Central West Cold Sap, Sydney SummerSlam, Molong Cup. No one's going to these. No one's going to these. And then once people showed up to Queensland Open, the Sizzler, and the, well, no one went to the Tassie Open. But so you got big points there. But the two that people show up to, not many points. And then, yeah, a decent amount of points in the ones where no one shows up. So, but hey, that's, you got to get to your events. That's how it's done. So maybe he'll hold out.
Yeah.
MA50, are there any surprises
with
the man on top?
No. And look, mind the gap.
Mind the gap and a half, eh?
Mind the gap.
So just for people who aren't playing along at home, the person on top in all these divisions we've been looking at is like high 400s, low 500s. There's a bunch of people sort of, you know, not far off of it. And then you get to MA50 and Jeff Brunsting, 605 points. Next best, Peter Howes, 364 points. It's not close.
Nope.
Just absolutely dominating. He's already been to 8 events, so he's got 2 that don't even count. His 2 worst events are already out. And he'll be at Pine Lines this weekend. So he's going to set a record, I think, for ADG Tour events played, probably a record for just PDJ events played in Australia in a year. Yeah, he's going to be doing plenty.
Look out, Tim Bowen.
Yeah, we'll have a look at that 8 events. And like I said, these are just the tour events. I think when we look at the end of the year, he's going to be number one with the bullet.
Yeah.
But yeah, plenty of other Melburnians in the top 10. There, Peter Howes, as we said, Roland Weber, who else? Kerry Edwards.
Yeah.
So we got a strong Grandmasters field.
We do.
What are you seeing in MA40?
The man, the myth, the legend. Obviously had a DNF at the Big Wet, but no surprises here. Also finding himself in the 600 club. You've got Lee Thompson taking out the leaderboard here at the moment. Closely followed by, relatively closely followed by Matt Beard. And then you've got Ryan Johnson, who's also a seasoned traveler. But great to see Lee Thompson with just the 6 events. Commanding the lead there. But he's just had so many Ws.
So many doubles Ws. But yeah, we see so Matt Beard and John Schlobaum both only have the 5 events. And they're 100-ish behind, so big victory from them would put them ahead of Lee, which just seems crazy. Feel like he's won everything. So, and then MA1, we have just an outrageous leader.
Outrageous, just disgusting. This guy is a 700 rated disc golfer.
Camille Abratansky, Cam.
Is
number one. There's not many people on the leaderboard. Him and one other have 6 events under their belt. So that explains it. I'm the other. a couple people pretty close behind him with only 4 events. So the likelihood of him holding out is zero.
Zero.
But for now,
Throttle's guarantee right there.
Throttle's guarantee. So Daniel Small and Sean Dobbs, 2nd and 3rd place with 4 events under their belt. And you'll find yourself, myself right there in 4th place. But like I said, 5, because one of those 6 was Melbourne Celebrates, and that was MA2, so I didn't get any points. So I'm not in as bad of a position as I might have thought, but the Vic Open didn't do much for me. Neither did the Queensland Open, to be honest. So, plenty of events to go for me. I always find myself in the top three by the end of the year. So, yeah, you can lock that in.
There you go.
Benny O'Byrne in eighth. And then Tim Davis, who I always, always want to be ahead of, is in ninth. So that makes me feel very good.
Awesome.
But not too many, not too many other Victorians here, I'm seeing.
No.
Yeah, we don't travel too much. But Chris Scott might be doing a bit of damage soon. He's only got three events under his belt, and he just wins everything, so. All right, MPO. Surely we knew Austin was on top, yeah?
Yes.
Because he just, it seems like he's won all the big events this year.
Yes.
Yes.
But look how tight it is. Like, there's only 11 points that separate him and Jade.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because Jade also has, he has won some big events. Like, he took down the Sizzler.
ACT champs. Yeah, Sizzler, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that was the only big one he won. But I think he was a second or third in a lot of these other ones. So, keeping himself right there. So, definitely one to watch. And Timmy B in third, which not surprised because, yeah, he is everywhere. So, himself, Jade, Nate Parrish, and Jeff are all on eight tour events for the year so far. So, yeah, pretty cool to see that.
Well-traveled.
I'm seeing Ryan Hart in fifth and Ryan Deere in tenth. So, little Ryan Deere making some moves.
Yeah, and just a little sneaky, isn't he? Like, gets out to a few of these events. He's a little quiet achiever.
Yeah, exactly. Phil there in 11th, only a couple points behind him. So Ryan will be pretty happy about that one, I think.
Yeah, hopefully he didn't put a slab of beer on that.
Yeah, exactly. See, I don't know, maybe we'll do a check-in again later on in the year, but yeah, big shake-ups will come late because Eruption and Nationals will be huge factors, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's go and talk about some disc golf that actually happened to us on the weekend, which was Melbourne Celebrates. Unfortunately, your back was no good, yeah? You couldn't come?
Nah, my back's cooked. It's still cooked.
It's still cooked? Shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's a worry. You definitely missed out. So I think we should jump straight into the course before we get to any of the results. I've played, I don't know, I would have to say maybe 10 pop-up courses in Melbourne over the journey, around that. Some of them are now courses, but yeah, I think most of them just pop up. We played it here, haven't. It's hands down the best one I've ever played.
That's great.
Yeah, it really, really is good. So we did talk about how it was at the park that the OG Melbourne disc golfers would play at. And I think a lot of the holes are the same or at least very similar to the ones they were using. Because I know Paul Arden was out there at some stage helping with the course design. And he was like, oh yeah, we sort of went through here and did that. And but yeah, big shout out to everyone involved in the course design. I was there for one of the days. I know Vil did a lot of the work. Kalen did a lot there. Jeff was out there a bunch. Paul Art, as I mentioned. I'm sure there's a lot more that I'm not thinking of right now. But for anyone who had input, it was very, very good. Thoroughly enjoyed it. It played harder than I thought it would. I think the weather probably had big factor in that. The wind played havoc, but it's still, they were just good holes, like lightly wooded is how I would describe it. It's not like Inverleigh, but it's not like Bendigo either, you know what I mean? Bendigo's pretty open. Lightly wooded, a lot of specific shots that you don't quite think about it when you're looking at it, because it kind of seems like a straightforward hole. But if you're not really hitting a line, then you're probably not getting the birdie. And I think that's what was happening a lot. Like, you could scramble pretty easy to get your par. But a hole one is a good example just because it is a very simple hole. It's one of the shortest ones on the course. The basket's sort of guarded. Like, there's just, like I said, lightly wooded. There's probably like 4 or 5 trees around it, you know, in sort of just inside, just outside circle. But the only way to attack it comfortably really is the, you know, lefty hyzer or the righty forehand. So on day one, I threw something stable at it, but the way the tee pad is, you can't really get right enough of the pin without throwing a flex shot. So I kind of had to throw straight at it, and then it, you know, finishes out to, you know, C2 left.
Yeah.
And then in the Arvo, I threw my flippy buzz just because I nailed the same shot basically on the last two holes. And yeah, it was perfect. Did exactly what I want, but just sort of hit the last tree on the right and went to about 8 meters or something, maybe shorter. I should have hit the putt, but yeah, it just wasn't the way to attack it. And yeah, it was a lot of stuff like that where you maybe thought you had more options, but it was kind of probably pretty specific. Yeah, really cool. Really cool. Some standout ones to me. Hole 4 I thought was awesome, and I'm very disappointed I didn't birdie it, but you didn't play it, but it was sort of a tunnel shot. Like, it wasn't really, but it was just like a kind of a canopy out ahead, and you had to throw it, I want to say, about 70 meters to get out into the fairway. So you're throwing kind of like a low, I would try to throw like a Firebird.
Yeah.
And it was a wide enough gap, but, you know, round one, I threw to right and I thought too low in the Arvo. But yeah, if you just punch something out at a good height, straight, and then let it finish, then it starts going downhill down the golf green. And then you would throw like a sort of a touchy downhill approach shot to, you know, a basket that was sitting on, you know, what I think might have used to have been like a tee for the golf green, for a golf hole. I don't know if I'd describe that very well to you, but it's a lot of fun. Full dog leg, and it shouldn't be that hard to do that first shot, but you could get yourself into some trouble. And then there was a bunch of crap on your left. So if you did shoot early, now you're like trying to hit gaps. And yeah, I thought it was awesome. Hole 6 was the island. That killed me, but I think it was a great hole.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw anything besides the putts on that from the MA1 guys, but short hole, but it's a downhill island and like some small trees stopping you from going straight. And then like a big tree stopping you from just throwing a basic righty hyzer. So, yeah, like the forehand line in with maybe a mid, you know, like a zone type shot was your best option. And once again, I didn't have that. So a similar setup. I tried to go straight at it and how it hyzered out left. And the Arvo, I tried to go the Tommy and fuck, it was so close to being park, but instead I end up being a little too right in the tree and I was short. I thought that was really cool. 7 and 8 were both, yeah, really good holes. I just thought they were just tough birdies. Really cool holes. 10, I don't know if you saw, now you haven't seen any of the course, did you?
No.
But 10 was wild. I assumed everyone would just birdie that. But it did a lot of damage, even in the MPO field. You'd have a road on your left, road and bollards was the out of bounds. And that went for probably a good 100 meters. And then it sort of starts dog-legging up left is where the basket was. Another 40, 50. So all you had to do was just throw something out straight, you know, 90, 100 meters. And then 40, 50 meter up. But the hill sloped down to the right. And yeah, there was a headwind. So you didn't want to go too stable because you're worried about going into the left out of bounds. And I guess a lot of people end up turning their discs and then they just cruising down the hill. Narada threw his about 600 meters, nowhere near the basket. So yeah, like I got pretty lucky the first round. The headwind lifted it and it dumped left just before it went out of bounds. So it was such an easy up for me. But yeah, in the afternoon round, it just turned. It didn't go crazy, but it just meant I had to throw a driver up to the basket and then, yeah, pulled it a bit right. So I think that was a really cool hole. 11 and 12 were dope. 12 was this downhill shot to an elevated basket. Really a lot of fun. 14, that was the biggest surprise. That took big numbers. People got hurt by that. That was sort of like a really cool, like, lefty hyzer-shaped tunnel off to the left. I say tunnel, but it was just sort of like, yeah. It was rows of trees with a bit of a canopy. I don't know how to describe. But, yeah, so if you had the forehand or the lefty hyzer, if you went low, bang, that's great. But if you're a little left, a little right, a little high, you're hitting trees and you got still got good distance to cover. And then the righty one was a bit more off-center. So you sort of had to maybe do a weird run-up or flex something and then hit a late gap. And I messed that up both times. And one time I threw a good upshot and a putt and the other time I didn't. You could go way over the top, but it was so hard. You need crazy power to get to the basket. But yeah, I should have done that just to take my par. But it suckers you in. Like, I think, oh, no, if I just throw my FD well through that gap, I get there. So, really cool hole. 15 was good. I don't know. The last bunch were all really cool. I really enjoyed it. I think it was really fun, and I really hope they find a way to get it into the ground. I know there's not, like, a push for it. The council's not like, oh, we want you to put this in to get stuff in the ground. The club just wanted to do it there because they thought it'd be fun and they thought it'd be a good course. So hopefully they can, yeah, push. Because this would be, yeah, especially with a couple of tweaks, especially if they could get tee pads. But this could be our Vic Park. Like, I really think it was that good.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I, like, obviously have loose memories of the park. And, yeah, it's huge. And so, of course, it's got scope for that. I was just following along as you were recalling some of those holes and looking at some hole scores, yeah. And like, you know, hole 10, for example, round one, not a single birdie in MPO.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I'd asked about it and you know, Jacob had told me, oh, very strong headwind. But I still, I can't believe none of them got it. If you watch Doug's video, you'll think it's the easiest hole ever.
Yeah.
And then what about, hole 14? I think that took a lot more scalps than people anticipated.
Yeah, same situation. One birdie round one and, just the one birdie round two. Not much bogeys or whatever in MPO, but, no one's birdieing it.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. It's cool. Thought it was really well designed and a lot of fun and, very keen to play it again. Let's have a look at some people who actually played it instead of just me jabbering on, eh?
Okay, sure.
So, yeah, this was split over 2 days at FA 40, MA 50, MA 2, FA 2, MA 3, MA 4, FA 4, MJ 15. Seems like a lot of divisions. All playing day one. And we'll start at the top. The King Division of the day was the FA 40s. They had the royal treatment. And it was Janet Ford-Adams very comfortably over Christine. So some strong play there by Janet.
Yeah. Got the W. That's all that matters by a margin. Well done, Janet.
Mm. MA50, he's back. Kerry Edwards is back. I haven't seen his name in a bit, have you?
I've seen his name around for sure, and I've seen him at some league days, but where we haven't seen his name is we just haven't seen it on the podium.
No, we haven't. But, a bit more distance on some of these holes. So, I guess that's why we might have seen him out in front, and he can throw a bit of the forehand as well, and there was definitely a lot of holes where you wanted the forehand, and that's not exactly the forte of the MA50 guys, so not too much of a surprise to see his name there on top. Edged out Mike by two, and Jeff there in third place. Mike, I played with him in round one, and I swear he hit every single tree and missed every single putt. Like, the fact that he was only six over was crazy. Like, it felt like 26 of them. So, well done on him to keep his composure and then have a solid round two, much more clean, and scrape in the second. But yeah, Jeff's hot streak comes to an end.
Yeah, there you go.
With a third place, but still above rating. So his next ratings update's going to be tasty.
All eyes were on MA2, though. All eyes were on MA2. You dropped a bombshell on the potty when I was away. Obviously, you had the little getaway with your better half, Dana, so that's perfectly fine. But look, you try to play it down, but tell us the reality. Surely you're going into that. Surely you're going into Saturday going, fuck you, I'm getting a W.
Nah, honestly, it didn't. So, I definitely did it. People were giving me so much sandbagger talk, all this stuff. And I was just like, no. I don't know how people don't realize, but every single tournament I play, I get rolled by like seven MA2 players anyway. I never went to MA1 because I won all the MA2 tournaments. I went to MA1 just because, like, yeah, I kept getting rolled by people I didn't know when I went into state. So I was like, oh, fuck it. At least if I play MA1, I get rolled by people I know. So I honestly had no thoughts of winning. Like, I went in trying to win, just trying to play well like I do every single time I play. But I was not at all thinking, oh, I'll come down and just wipe the floor with these bitches. But after round one, when I was in first place, I was like, oh, you guys are fucked. things definitely changed after round one. I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll probably just win it now. finished one under par, equal with Timmy Pollock, and Kalen was there and even. Wasn't really worried about Narada, Nick Valentini in the positives there. And then Kalen had an ace, so I kind of didn't count his round too much either. So I was like, it's me and Timmy Pollock, I'll just probably win. But I probably shouldn't have been thinking that, because I did play, I was quite happy with how my round one went. Threw quite nicely, hit good putts. Only really one blemish, I just full fucked an upshot on hole 12. Can't explain that one. And hole 6, I missed the island, but I wasn't too worried about that. But yeah, could have had a bunch more birdies because I was throwing really well. But like I said, that was sort of specific lines. So this came out of my hand nice, but didn't necessarily go the line it absolutely needed. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, we start round two. And I've got Tim Stevenson on the card. I think Narada must have asked to play with Nick Valentini on Chase Card. So we had Timmy Stevens. But yeah, I started on the island and just short. So I've probably got like a downhill 12-meter putt. Threw a Tommy. It was looking so good. So good. But yeah, to see the last tree. If it was a little bit more left, I'm probably parked and I start with a birdie. But instead, I run the putt because I've been putting well. It misses, luckily stays on the island, but it's dumped downhill up 8 meters now or 9 meters. Hit the cage, double bogey, oofed. And Kalen gets a birdie after acing it round one. so that one hole, I've lost six strokes to Kalen.
Bang.
Next hole, not too bad. I throw a fine shot and then full fuck the upshot. I don't know what it was. I think I just didn't clean the disc right. I don't know. But then I put myself under a branch and missed that. So we've got a double bogey start. But from then on, fine. Same deal. I was throwing pretty well. And Patton decent. One little blemish on 14. Yeah, back-to-back birdies, 17-18. Like I said, very easily could have been another one on hole one. Then Kalen gets the birdie on hole two. And then, hole three, he throws a trash shot. And I followed up by throwing the exact same one. Hole four, same. His is trash, mine's trash. Hole five, his is trash, mine's trash. Like, I had three holes in a row where he really let me in. But, no good. But yeah, I found myself in third because Penn just went fucking nuts round two. So Penn with a neg six round two was doing work.
Yeah, 977.
Yeah. So he showed up from third card to get into second place. I finished in third. I'm happy with that. I thought I played all right. So, if I could just clean up the island, if I had of maybe that Tommy lands a little closer in the island and I take a two, then all of a sudden I've gone bogey birdie on that hole, then could have been a very different ball game. So not too mad. Penn obviously had a sick round two and Kalen played well. It was kind of boring round two because it was mostly just clean, but yeah, if he wasn't quite good enough off the tee, upshot, par, job done. That's all he needed to do. And yeah, he got an ace that was worth like $400 in the end.
And yeah, it had some of my cash in it, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, no, really good to him. I think it's his first win.
Yeah, it'd have to be.
And yeah, good field. 14 people in the field. Some good competitors. So, really good win to him. And Penn, I know Penn had like a little checklist at the start of the year, and one of his checklist items was to beat me in a tournament. and I'm sure he's already done that this year. I'm sure there's been one or two at least where he's had a better score in MA2 than I did in MA1, but this is the first time we've actually been together, and I was pretty stoked to be killing him, I could tell you that, after round one. So, I got a little aggressive on my final hole to try to scrape something back, and I really wish I didn't now because one more stroke.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, but yeah, no, well done, to them.
Anita Weber got it done in FA2. Pretty consistent golf over Kim, and another event above her rating, which is good. In MA3, Seb, playing some pretty sick golf, 9-8 event, miles above his rating. So, well done, Seb. Obviously, ultimate convert, and maybe a sign of some skills to come because he smashed the field in MA3.
Yeah, I played with him round one. We had mixed cards, and he had the best score of the round, which was a neg two, and it was just nice. Like, nothing overwhelmingly good. Like, he ended up with three bogeys, but three, four, both kind of simple holes. He just threw good shots, hit good putts. Hole 13, he's got a really smooth forehand. Really smooth forehands. Not like far, but smooth. And hole three was perfect for that. Hole 13, I mean, sorry. So just nice little smooth forehand through that gap. Same with 17 and 18. Just bang, bang. Just looked smooth. And he hit good putts. When he looked like he was in a little bit of trouble, he managed to get his upshot to like 6 meters and just hit the putt. Like, it was good. It was just really nice and solid to watch. No crazy panic when he took a few bogues. So, yeah, I thought that was really cool. And, it looks like he followed it up with a plus one in the Arvo, but still good golf. And like you said, way above his average. So, really cool win. It was really good to see. I'm really happy for him.
Speaking of above average, and I am conscious of my laptop battery here, which is a new little curveball for us.
Oh, okay.
Chris Scott, the other Chris Scott. What a tale of two rounds here in MA4. It starts with a plus 12, which keeps him in the mix round one, but down in third, a few strokes off Matt Mutter and Chris Reimer, and then follows that up with a neg one?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck's going on there.
It's crazy.
I don't know what the fuck's going on there. That is crazy.
One bogey in round two.
Yeah. Yeah, and set like sevens, that's a tricky hole. I don't get it. 8-14 round one, 9-29 round two, almost 100 points above his rating. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. And he was copping a bit of shit for being a sandbagger, but he said he's been playing MA 40 lately, but he couldn't play day two, so that's where he put himself.
Yeah. No, he deserves all the sandbagger talk that comes his way. That's been around for a couple of years. FA4, we had Lily play. Well done, Lily. And in MJ15, we obviously had Tobias play. Well done, Tobias. A win's a win for both of you guys.
Yep. All right, day two, a lot less divisions, MPO, MA1, MA40, and FA1. A lot less competitors as well. I've heard the wind conditions were worse, and the ratings reflect that. So it seems like that, the ratings were pretty wild round to round, changed a bit. But overall, it seemed to be about two strokes harder day two than day one. And, you know, some of that could be chalked down to, you know, the people playing, but we've generally seen pretty much consistency when we've seen Nationals or Ruffy Rumble or other events that have had split pools. So, I think it'll mostly be, wind weather conditions and potentially just the smaller size of the field, but yeah, played hard.
Yeah. Looks like it did. But round one, Timmy Bowen was having none of that.
None of that.
None of that. 10-29 round.
Yeah, it just making everyone else, well, Paddy played really well too, but, like Aiden in third place with a neg three, seven strokes back. Like it just made his neg 10 just made everyone look silly.
Yeah.
And like the birdies are there. Like I said, the birdies are there on all these holes. There's not a hole I step up to and I think, oh, I can't birdie it. But you got to throw the shots. Like, it's amazing. Darren played with him, and he said that's the best he thinks he's ever seen Tim play.
Yeah.
Which, 10-29, that probably is. It's probably pretty nice
good golf.
Around.
It's pretty good golf.
Surely he backs that up round two, yeah?
Unfortunately not. Goes in with the minus one. Obviously just couldn't get going. And Paddy just gets over the line in the end with a minus seven followed by the minus five. That was enough to get the chocolates for Paddy.
Yeah, that's good. Looking forward to him giving Timmy shit on the next tee off episode. That'd be a bit of fun, I think.
Yes.
Aiden Howard holds out in third place. Dazza put a bit of a charge on, but a double bogey on, I believe, his last hole five. Not sure what happened there, but that put the brakes on any podium talk for him. Leo Dykes, Ryan Deere. Don't know what's going on with those guys. I thought they'd do really well there. And Ryan Hart. And Ville. Like, what are we looking at?
Yeah.
These guys over par. Ryan Hart over by a mile. Ville helped design the course. Like, he played it a bit. Like, I do not understand. Plus four final round.
Not great.
Double bogeys on 12. What's 12? Maybe that's just putting at the elevated basket? No, quad bogey. That'll do it. A quad bogey on hole 12. Holy shit. Yeah, that's an elevated basket. The only thing I can think of is that he putted a million times at it. Ryan Hart's done the same. And I know for a fact that was. Dazza said he was C1 and six putted.
Ryan Hart loves a six putt.
Loves a six putt. But yeah, nuts. Like the birdie, a bunch of pars, and then two guys took a seven on this par three. Crazy. So disappointing for those guys.
Crazy.
MA1, Matt Hill and Chris Scott. We saw the video. You posted it on our socials.
Couldn't help myself.
They both finished on the island hole, and they both put it inside the island and both missed their putts for victory. So I think they end up doing a little bit of a loop and got back to the island hole at some stage, and that's where Matt won it. So back in the winner's circle in MA1, Matt, and yeah, Chris Scott, he having to face someone that's actually good at disc golf. And can't get the win.
Finds himself the bridesmaid. Matt Hill replied to my video up on socials, which I did love. I think I coined it like MA1 things or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Matt Hill replied MA1.5. And I'm like, that's good.
Exactly. But yeah, both good rounds for those boys. The only two in the field that were under par. So our boy Mark Hardy rounds out the podium with a plus two. And even that, like, it just didn't rate bad. Plus two was a 927 event. So pretty decent golf for a local MA1 tournament. But yeah, just played hard. And you had to shoot 950 to get the win.
Jacob Cruden down the bottom there, pretty much shit in the bed. Playing another sub 900 rated event.
Yep, he's fallen pretty hard. He'll be under 900 rated soon.
Yeah, back where he belongs. Georgia Carroll, look at this. This is the Georgia Emma battle we come for.
Yes, it is.
So they go in, they tie round one, plus 16 apiece. So anyone to take it, and they go plus 14, plus 15, separated by one. Georgia gets another W.
Huge. It's just an absolute pounding this year. I think last year we maybe gave Emma Female Player of the Year, and Georgia's just like, mistake.
Yeah.
You guys made a mistake. Yeah. I don't think Emma's come close to any of it this year.
Nah. Insert Michael Jordan, I took that personally, meme.
Yeah, exactly. MA Forda, have you ever heard of this guy?
Oh, yeah. Old mate Cooper. We and him hang out Chicago all the time. Have you seen his profile pic?
Yeah.
It's like full of kangaroos. Who is this guy?
No idea. So Cooper Thomas, he's an American from Chicago. He, you know, he's got a PDJ number of a billion. So he's fresh. He's rated 886. Yeah, like you said, photo of him, kangaroos in the background, and shoots a neg 3, 950 rated event. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No idea. No idea where he's come from, who he is, but he took out MA40 by 9 strokes. He finished the same as Chris Scott and Matt Hill. So just really blew up the division, because you look at the next batch of people and that's who we're expecting to see. Tim Ware, Anthony Imagine, Taron Anderson.
Yeah.
That's normally the battle. Plus 6, plus 7, plus 8. Yep. That's what we're here to see, but nah. Neg 3, Cooper Thomas. Very interested to see if he is here to stay or if he's just a blow-in.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. I'm looking on his page. He's got nothing else coming up. And I don't think that's the only thing he's played in Australia. So, yeah, no idea, but he's played a shit ton of events.
This year.
Yeah, this year. Yeah. How does it say how many events he's done? 2024, yeah, 28 tournaments.
Yeah, this year.
So far, including leagues.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Cool. I'm guessing it's just a blow-in.
And he's played and he's played every division.
Yeah.
MA1, MA40, MA2, MA3.
That means his rating must be, like, legit.
Yeah.
So he's legit 886 rated, and he just came and fucking smashed everyone.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Oh. All right, that wraps up Melbourne Celebrates. We'll have the updated Victor leaderboard for next pod. But, like I said, awesome event. Players packs were dope. Their facial stuff from Stuff was awesome. I've been using it every day.
Nice work, man cave.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going a bit over time, but we'll have to talk a little bit about the European Festival of Disc Golf. So I didn't actually see any of it yet.
Oh, you are missing Did out. You?
Yeah, I know. I'm hearing. Give us a rundown. I got to know what's going on.
All you got to know is Estonia just froths disc golf. Like froths disc golf. And they pulled out all stops for this. Now, the course itself, fun but scorable, particularly in MPO. Fun but scorable. And boy, did Ricky Wysocki want a piece of that round one with an outrageous... what was it? Minus 16? Something gross. Round one. Obviously, not as crazy round two and three, but my little boy, Theo, not sleeping great at the moment. So MPOs were teeing off at like midnight. And so I couldn't watch much live, but then Theo was waking up and I was just green light. I'm just walking into Theo and I'm not even going to try to put him to sleep. I'm just watching disc golf on my phone. And I caught the final round at hole 14. Ricky Wysocki and Paul McBeth going fucking toe to toe. And I...
Sick.
Yeah, and I got to watch from like hole 14 onwards. And it was sick. It was like of yesteryear. And then on the last hole... par three, they both put it to C1. Ricky puts it to, 8.5, 9 meters. Paul puts it to like 9.5, 9.7 meters, like just inside the circle. Ricky has just missed a couple of putts on down the stretch. With Paul one back, I'm just like, he just needs to hit this putt. And it's only 8.5 meters, but just with the world of pressure, I could see Ricky missing it. And Paul just leaves it a fraction high, just a fraction high, dead center. But yeah, just banned, nut, doesn't drop from 10 meters. And therefore, Ricky just doesn't even try to hit the putt. Ricky just obviously lays up, taps in, takes the W to just end his barnstorming European League of the Tour. But God, it was good to see those two go toe-to-toe.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Now,
I love that.
FPO, completely fucking different story. Missy Gannon, hang around Gannon, and I'll get the W Gannon, because Evelina sucks at putting, got the W. Like, I don't even know what to say. I'm not...
Yeah, I've heard I need to watch this. I've heard she's just like, you can't lose her from here, and she's like, wow.
Yeah.
I can.
Yeah, and she obviously, choked it up at bloody the European Open against Tatar. But, like, Tatar was nowhere to be found, right? Tatar was way off the pace. Like, it was just Gannon. Like, and Gannon's, like, the friendliest person in disc golf. For me, Gannon, I with all due respect, Gannon will always just be, to me, Paige's best friend. Like, Gannon ain't a real disc golfer. How are you losing to Gannon? I was like, it's so piss poor, to be honest. And Heidi Lane, like, she was flying this event. Like, at the round one, she was out the front of the pack. Eight strokes, like, Jesus Christ. After round one, Lane had 8 strokes on Gannon. How has Gannon won this event? Like,
that's wild.
You've got to be better than that, girls.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. Just the putts. Nice. And even like the putt in the playoff, that was like, I was awake. Like, well, I got to watch him tee off, but then I think that was like midnight that they were having the playoff, and I was watching that live as well. I have not been sleeping much thanks to Theo, but I was watching that live, and I just, you could see it happen. Like, and we're in a few group chats, and the group chats, we could all just see it happen. Evelina put it to 4.5 meters, and we're like, ah, she's going to miss that, and Missy Gannon's going to win. And that's what happened. Like, her average putt for the event, her average putt for the event for Evelina is 3.3 meters.
Oh, that's so gross.
That can't be your average putt. You got a putt. You're a professional disc golfer. I did want to say this. I get that there's like going to be discrepancies with like MPO versus FPO for physiological reasons, but that should not come into play on the putting green. Like, you're just trying to putt 10 meters. You can learn how to do that. They're just a couple of the Europeans, and like, I'm salty because I obviously bloody tipped Blomrose not long ago, but the pair of them, these Finnish birds, you got to get better at putting.
Yep, you've heard it here first. Well, not first, but yeah, I'm key. I'll have to check out the back nines or something like that. Yeah. That'd be fun. As you mentioned, Chris and Noah near it, 8 strokes back in 8th place. And even Silva with a charge, like she charged home final round just to finish 11 strokes back, 10 strokes back. Yeah. So no good from them, bit of surprise. But yeah, well done, Missy Gannon. And yeah, well done, Ricky. Really cool to see Ricky and Paul battling out. That's dope.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing it was like crazy. Like I saw some of the not trick shot, but like the accuracy and the distant comp thing. They were hole one was out in like a stadium, and they had a screen with their names and their photos and like a graphic and stuff come up. Like I just thought it was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, loads of money. They put loads of money into it. It was all set up well for like good spectator position as well. They do that well at the European Open as well. But you get spectators on the fairways, at the greens. It just looks good. Just the walkout, like the walkout to your name. And they definitely stuffed up one of the graphics with bloody Simon Lazotte having an American flag at one stage. And I know, like, I haven't heard him talk about it, but I know he gets full salty about that. Like, when he gets introduced as, like, you know, from whatever state he lives in America. And, like, he's a proud German. Like, they introduced the bloke as a proud German. It was pretty elite. Pretty, pretty elite. They take their game very seriously.
Nice. All right, we'll do a bit of a throwler's guarantee. So Dazza stepped up for us last week, and he had a pretty cool idea. Unfortunately, we couldn't see it out because you crook back. So no one got any points last week. But we're back this week, and I've got my eyes set on the Melton social day we've got coming up. And I'm trying to figure out how I want to play this one, but I'm looking at Cam Ford.
Yes.
And I'm looking at Brett Bobridge.
Ooh, okay.
And I think that Brett Bobridge is going to shoot better than Cam Ford.
Okay.
830 metrics rated Brett Bobridge and 890 rated Cam Ford.
Good. All right.
What number am I getting for that?
Yeah, surely I have to assume that Cam's probably never played Melton.
Always. It's his favorite course.
Oh, you think Cam's played Melton?
Yeah, heaps.
Why would you say that? That's going to make my number lower. So Cam's never played Melton. Oh yeah, okay. So my bad. I'm tripping. Yeah, but yeah. I'm giving you a juicy number for this. Yeah, I have to give you a juicy number for this.
It should be. Cam should beat him. Definitely fucking beat him.
I'm gonna.
You know, 60 points is that's crazy.
It's a lot of rating points, and I want you to return the favor. I'm gonna give you a 7.
Yeah, Fair.
Yeah. It's not fair because Brett plays Melton every day, but...
does he?
No, I don't know. But nah, seven. That's a seven. Cam should smash yep. Brett.
He should.
Yeah.
But I'm really hoping Brett fucking comes through for me in the clutch here. Yep, sounds good.
All right. Remembering that I was generous, I'm interested to see how you'll go here. So I've done a bit of a deep dive, right? I'm also looking at, I've also looked at Melton, right?
Sick.
And
yeah.
This is what I want. I'm looking at squarely and wholly at hole one.
Oh, yep.
And I'm calling for, it's a birdie or bogey hole, right? It's a birdie or bogey hole, yep. And it flip-flops. So last Melton League day, there was like 15 bogeys and 9 birdies. But the yep. league day before, it was like 12 birdies and 10 bogeys.
Oh,
so
yep.
it went the other way. But I'm obviously looking at the field, I'm going with, it's going to flop back, and I'm going with more birdies than bogeys on hole one during the league day.
Oh, I know you want a good number here, but... there are 15 people in the top division. And what have you got? 17, 18 people in the lower divisions. Well, one of the guys, he should be in the top division. He just doesn't...
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is more shitter players than good players. Yeah, correct.
So 16 versus 17. Oh, so that should be reasonably fair. What do you say? You think there's going to be more birdies?
I'm going to go birdies this time.
All right. Well, I think it's pretty fair, but we're all kind of shit. So I'll go six. I'll go one side of
it. Nice. Thank you. I'll take even. A six. I'll take a six. That's good. Thank you. We've been nice to each other there. We did say that the winner needs to get to 50, and we're kind of...
Yeah, I know. We need to get some points.
We're not a stalemate here, so that was smart by us. All right, 7 and 6 up for grabs. We need this.
Yeah, I hope I didn't go too far with Cam and Brett here, but I just got a good feeling. I wanted to put my bet around Peter Chu, that he comes
finally
good.
Comes good. Yeah, but
I just lost all faith. Like I was trying to figure out who I could pick him against to be like, nah, now we've come good. But everyone I was gonna think of, I was thinking back the other way. I was like, oh no, nah, maybe I should just make a bet that he's still gonna be shit. So, no, I'm staying away from that. But he's got to turn around, and Melton will be a good place for it. But, nah, Brett's going to dominate.
Good.
All right, let's finish this long one off with a bit of spotlight and not light. Have you got anything?
Yeah, I've got a few things. I've already touched on them. I'll go with my spotlights first. So, my honourable mention was actually going to be the Australian Disc Golf new logo. Obviously, I call for Volunteer Harder, and I want to say maybe Alex Brindle has come to the Volunteer Harder campaign, and we've got a new logo for AEG Disc Golf. So, honourable mention. And then my actual spotlight just goes to Estonian Disc Golf, and I want to be inclusive of Vil's metrics photo, which is like him. It's like a bit of a niche thing. He's like on the Baltic Disc Golf Tour from like yesteryear, pre-beard, some pretty mad sunnies, but he's wearing a Dude Disc Golf T-shirt, Down Under Disc Evolution Disc Golf T-shirt.
No shit.
And I'm assuming he hasn't even moved to Australia at that point. So Estonian Disc Golf gets my spotlight.
That's dope. I love that. I'm looking at his photo right now. That definitely looks like a young Vil. That's not a recent photo.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Getting around in the dude gear. That was so cool. He must have had a good job back then. I could never afford the dude gear. that's cool. Yeah, I didn't get too imaginative with my spotlight. Close to home. I'll go with Kalen. We've mentioned before when, you know, you get the best score of the day. And that was him. So -2 was better than anyone could muster up by the end of the day, which is always a cool thing. And yeah, gets his first W and takes out the ace on a hole that everyone else, well, not everyone else, but like loads of other people are bogeying, double bogeying. It was cool. Just threw a high. I didn't see it, but I saw what he did in round 2. He throws a high forehand and has it sort of come spiking in, and it must have spiked right into the chain. So, yeah, good $400. The W, the best score of the weekend. Well, the best score of the day, I should say, sorry. Pretty good outing for him. And he did a fair bit of work with helping set up and planning and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, good karma, good on him.
Nice work, nice work. You got a not light?
Penn for beating me. That's fucking piece of shit. That really pissed me off. I must admit. the not light has to go. It's like basically an exact flip side. We talked about it as well, but I need to talk about it again. Ryan Hart and Phil. I mean, just trash. I don't know what to say. Yeah, what 908 event for Ryan. 927 event for Phil, it says, but it feels worse than that. He would have been there. He would have played it a bit. I don't know how he's done it. But, yeah, those two guys just getting absolutely smashed in MPO. It's trash. So, got to give it to them. Timmy B with a close, like, choking on that. That's a tough one.
Close, but, yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the flavor of Vil being mentioned both in spot and not, so that's pretty cool. look, mine, I've had my rant, but it was definitely going to go to FPO putting. Specifically Evelina. And just in case we haven't shat on it enough the last few weeks, and I think we kind of have let it fly by, but really in hindsight, we probably shouldn't have. But I know I wasn't on last week, but I needed to bring this up. Hole 16 at the European Open and the introduction of the drop zones. That's absolutely my not light.
Yeah. Nah, for sure. It's so dumb. And like a good spotlight for the whole six at Melbourne Celebrates, no drop zone. So just made it all hazard. I think we need to abolish the drop zone from our game. We can have it for a Mando. You can miss a Mando, but other than that, wherever you go out of bounds, that's where you take it from. Wherever your last in bounds, it's not that complicated. And if you're going to do something, you're going to make something where it's like crazy and that's not like a good option, then just make it all hazard. Like, it's, yeah, I hate it. Drop zones are shit, and they should get rid of them. And yeah, they full fucked up hole 16. Like, that's crazy. Like, I don't understand. If you throw out of bounds off the tee, well, all right, you were in bounds for 95% of your flight and you trickled out, so just come back in and throw from there.
Yeah,
if you go on for the island and you're short, well, move up, throw again.
Yeah.
It's not that fucking hard. If you end up going over the island and going long, all right, cool. Take a step in from in there, you got a putt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not complicated. We already got the rules. I don't know why we do stupid shit. So yeah, anyone who's running a tournament, about to put a course in, if you're coming up with a drop zone that's not for a Miss Mando, rethink it. Then you haven't designed your hole well. Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up. We didn't really talk, Daz and I didn't really talk about that, so that was trash.
Yeah, cool.
Sweet. All right, well, yeah, big one. Yeah, good to have you back. Big thanks to Dazza for filling in last week. Always good value having Daz.
Yeah. No, definitely get anxious listening to Daz. He does a much better job than me. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.